Hallelujah. God is good. Can everybody hear me all right? Because I don't talk real loud, so I have to have somebody help me. So I've entitled our lesson for today, Buried with Christ. And so I'm going to be talking about, try to share with you some the reasons that the church believes in baptism. Why we do things the way we do, why we baptize the way we do, and so forth. We're going to look at some scriptures together that talk about baptism. We're going to look at when Jesus was baptized this morning, and some of those things. So, just let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin. Father, I thank you today for those who have decided and claimed Lord, I want to be baptized. I know that you love me. You died for my sins. And it's time to be baptized. And Father, I thank you for the four that are coming today for that. I thank you for the others who are going to be joining them in the next week or so when family can be with them as well. And Lord, we just thank you that we can rejoice with them. It's just a blessing to see the church grow in this way. And so we thank you for it. Father, just speak through me today. Thank you for your word and for the truth of your word, that we can have confidence that what we say from your word is true. It's real. And we don't have to wonder about that, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to begin today in Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. It's what Jesus told the disciples when he told them to go out into all the world and take the gospel. So Matt has been teaching our youth discipleship for quite a while now. And I've had the privilege of filling in for him a few times. And so as disciples of Jesus Christ, we find from the Word of God that it is our duty to make new disciples, to bring other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, then we're to go ahead and baptize them. I do want you to know that you don't have to be a pastor to baptize someone. Disciples can baptize other disciples. So if you lead someone to the Lord and there's water there and they want to be baptized, go ahead and baptize them. We'll see that happen in one of the scriptures that we use today. It does not have to be a pastor, a priest, someone who's in the clergy to do the baptizing. Because as we look in Matthew 28 here, we'll see. Let's just begin in 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And I've told you this before, many times when something special, some time that the Lord needs to spend with the disciples or to spend with his Father, he went to the mountain. He always went to the mountains to pray. And so there, here he is with the 11 at the end of his time here on earth. And he says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So not only is it our privilege and duty to baptize, but it's our privilege and duty to then lead them in the ways of the Lord, to shepherd them, if you want to call it that, to just share Jesus with them every opportunity that you have. And that's why the church is so important, because we're here to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to make sure that your brothers and sisters are walking with the Lord as they should. And if you see them fall, to help them up and get them back on track. And so as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have a lot of different duties. And according to this scripture here, one of those is baptizing and then shepherding, or teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. And we're not just to share the gospel with them and then send them on their way with no help from their own. It's kind of like parenting. As a parent, we don't ever give up that duty with our children. We're continually parenting. I know a lot of families who say when our kids are 18, we're done with them. They're out the door and they're gone. Well, we have, from Scripture, learned that it's our proper parenting skills to lead them for life, to continue to shepherd and challenge and bring your children along to walk with the Lord. You know, we've talked about that from Scripture as well, how He says to talk to them when they're along the road and when they're at home and when they're working and when they're sitting. You talk to them all the time about the Lord. There's a new song out Luke Bryan, I think, sings it. Says, I used to talk to the Lord, to my children about the Lord. And he said, now I talk to the Lord about my children. It's pretty cool. So if you haven't heard that one yet, you'll like it when you hear it. Let's go to Matthew 3 now. I'm going to go back to the beginning of Matthew. I was looking in John first, and I like Matthew's, his account of John the Baptist. So I really love John's account, and I've preached about that before, but we're going to look today in Matthew chapter 3. So John the Baptist, as you know, is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was sent by prophecy to announce Jesus' coming, and so he was there. He did his teaching and preaching in the desert for some reason. And so that's where this takes place. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. So when I hear something like that, I think this is someone who's strange. not someone that I would really be looking for or trying to associate with. John the Baptist spent a lot of time in the desert. That's where he liked to be. And for some reason, people went to him there. And so as he was in the desert there and eating his locusts and wild honey, it says people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So they didn't have baptistries then. They went to the river. Many times we've gone to lakes, swimming pools. We'll get water wherever we need to baptize someone. So I'll say this. There are three different ways that the church baptizes today. They sprinkle, they pour, and they immerse. Baptize means to bury in the water, and that's what we're talking about today. A lot of times that's not available. A lot of the churches choose to sprinkle or pour. I grew up in the Mennonite church. I was sprinkled when I was young. After Patsy and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we actually went to a lake. There was a group that was baptizing, and so we were baptized again, and that's fine. You do what you love. I'm not going to tell any of you you're wrong, because There's three different ways or acceptable ways to be baptized. Do what the Lord tells you to do. And so I'm not here to judge one way or from the other. So, and none of us are. So that is just three of the ways that the church today baptizes. We'll always immerse here. That's just something that we've always done and we'll always do as long as I'm here. If they decide to change that after I'm gone, it'll be up to the Lord to do that, not them. So we know from Scripture that's what He wants, and that's what we choose to do. So He's taking His disciples, John, after He brings them to the Lord, taking them to the Jordan and baptizing them there. They were coming by droves at this time. Jesus was just getting old enough to start His ministry. And so it says, when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where He was baptizing, He said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children from Abraham. The axe is already at the root of trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff and unquenchable fire with unquenchable fire." So even the leaders of the time, the leaders of the church, were coming out to see what was going on with John the Baptist. It was something to see. And so the church was growing because of His ministry there. And in verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter Him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?'" John was somewhat of a prophet. I have an idea that he probably knew Jesus was going to show up that day, because God will tell us when something is going to happen. He will tell us that. And I have an idea that John probably knew that Jesus was just going to show up there that day. Because he knew that he was bearing witness or testimony to Jesus Christ. He was telling His story, that He was coming to save the world. And so when he asked Jesus that he needed to be baptized by Him, Jesus replied, He said, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." So Jesus wanted to be an example for us that we need to be baptized. So John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." It's really awesome when you can say of your Son, "I am well pleased of you." But God knew that Jesus had led a sinless life up to this point, and he was happy with Him. So he let everyone there know that this was His Son, and that He was pleased with Him. "A Son whom I love," He said. So I want to go now to Acts chapter 8. There's just a few verses there in Acts that I wanted to look at, and then we're going to end up in Romans towards the end then. Acts 8, 1 to 3, and then we're going to look at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So chapter 8, 1 to 3 says, On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So I read these verses to show you that the church was being persecuted at this time. It was hard for the church. Because they were coming under so much persecution, they scattered. They went their different ways. They didn't always meet together because that's where the leaders of that time went to look for them. So they were scattered. They went to different areas. What I want to talk about is Philip. So Philip, one of the disciples of that time, he was scattered from the area around Jerusalem, he went to Samaria. So we're going to be looking at that, his time there in Samaria. And verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So again, Philip was the same way. He took his believers and baptized them, the same way John the Baptist did. When people came to know Jesus, when they changed their lives and turned their lives to him, then he took them and baptized them. Let's go down to 26 now. I want to look at Philip and the eunuch and the Ethiopian. So an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So Philip was on the road. He was just walking along, going down to Gaza from Jerusalem. And the Spirit told him, "See the chariot up ahead?" He said, "I want you to go and just stay near it. Don't just go up to it, but stay close to it." So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" asked Philip. How can I, he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked, so that scripture is taken from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. So this was a prophecy that took place years before that. So the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" So apparently Philip did a good job of sharing Jesus Christ with him and his gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how when we come to know him, we need to be baptized. And so the guy knew he needed to be baptized, and he saw water, so he said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized here?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, it says, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So, interesting, isn't it? How Philip, after the Lord was done with him there, he disappeared. God was done with him. He had done what the Lord asked him to do. He had gone near to the chariot, and he had talked to the eunuch. He had led him to the Lord Jesus and then baptized him that same day. He took care of everything that needed done, just as he has asked us to do as his disciples. So over in chapter 6 of Romans, there's a few verses here that I would like to finish up with today before we take these four special people and baptize them. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So, what we're signifying when we baptize, when we take you down into the water, is to bury you, to bury your sins. Your old self is gone. And when you come up and resurrect from the water, new life begins. And that's what we're signifying, our new life in Jesus Christ. That you've decided to give up your old sinful way and become a child of God and walk with him the rest of your life. It's an awesome experience for those of you who have been baptized. You know how awesome it is. I've seen, and it talks about here in Scripture, how many times when people are baptized, they're also baptized in the Spirit as well, when they're baptized in water. I have heard people come out of the water prophesying. And I've read in Scripture where that has happened as well. So it could be a really awesome day by the time we get done today, depending on what the Father decides he wants to do with us here today. Let's go on. If we had been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Thank you for God's grace. By grace are you saved, not of yourselves. It's not something that we can do for ourselves, but only through Jesus Christ. Can we be born again? Can we be followers of his? Can we be freed from our burden of sin? I talked to you before about how without Jesus we would have to bring our cows and sheep along with us to church every week when we come to sacrifice them for our sins. Thank God we don't have to do that anymore. Our parking lot's not big enough for all the trucks and trailers it would take to bring what we need to bring with us for our sins. And I thank God that He knew that and took the time to send Jesus for us. So I don't want you to feel like you have to stay today for the baptism. You're welcome to. We're going to be baptizing Jax today, and then Nikki and her children. And it's awesome that your families came along to share this moment with you. And but I don't want you to feel like you have to stay for that. It's going to take some time to do this today. And so as we sing our last song here today, why those who are getting baptized can go ahead and get ready, change clothes and whatever you're doing. And Jesse is going to be doing the baptizing today. I think that's awesome that he gets the chance to baptize his children. I was able to baptize both of my children. It's a wonderful experience. And that's why if you have a chance, you lead someone to the Lord and you want to baptize them, do it. That's the way God designed it. Disciples to baptize other disciples. So, and Nikki, if you'd like to baptize your children, that's up to you as well. If you'd like to do that today, why, that's an option. So, so as we sing our last song, you guys go ahead and get ready, and we'll go on. If anybody needs prayer this morning as we're singing the last song, we want to give time for that. So Matt and I will be here to pray with you. If there's anyone who's never accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you'd like to do that this morning, we want to give opportunity for that as well. That's why we're here, to lead others to the Lord. And so if you need to do that today, we'd love to lead you through that process. So go ahead, James.